If you would, find the passage, Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Usually, the Sunday before Bible school or the Sunday of Bible school, we give a challenge about children, and we'll do the same thing again today. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, children a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Happy is the man who has filled his quiver with them. Such men will never be put to shame when they speak with their enemies at the city gate. Let's pray. Would you tell the Father that you love him today from your heart to his heart? In line with the sermon and our life, he loves to hear from his children. So tell him that you love him today. Then let your prayer in your heart move to being grateful today, thankful. Let the Holy Spirit remind you of what to be thankful for. We also want to pray for people who overlap into our life. People we carry a burden for, that God has put on our hearts and our minds. Pray for them by name, lifting their name and situation up to our Heavenly Father. Remember them today. Pray for our Bible schools. It starts tonight. There are many other churches doing the same. Pray for them as well. We're on the same team. We're not in competition with each other. Pray for ours and others in their Bible school endeavor this week, their mission. I don't pray for a smooth one. I just pray that the Lord will guide us. He will empower us. He will resource us. Just lift them up as we meet families and children. We show them the love of Christ. In between songs, we took up an offering. Would you thank the Lord for the chance to give, ask him to bless what we have given, and then offer our lives today as living offerings, living sacrifices to him, and that we seek the Lord to speak to us today in this sermon through his word. Would you pray for those who are around you, even if you don't know them, pray a blessing over them. And for your family, wherever they may be, pray a blessing over them today. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it. Lord, I want to be obedient to speak to it. You look at all of us today, all of our services, everybody in this room, but you see me in a different way. I'm your teacher, I'm your preacher. On me is a more strict judgment than anybody can put on me and than anybody in this room. And Lord, I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You could be seated. It's good to see you all today. Thank you for being here. We look at Psalm 127, 3 through 5. It talks about the children are a blessing, they're our reward. You may go to the next verse, if you will, Kim, that last one. It talks about that such men will never be put to shame when they speak with their enemies at the city gate. That may seem like a strange verse, and you don't get it. You wonder why it's even there. In a city, when somebody was attacking the city and the fortification, one of the weakest places would be at the gate. And so the picture is that God has blessed us in that even our children are there as reinforcement if anything comes to destroy our city or our fortification. The gate is held strong because children are a blessing. We'll be ministering to Sunrise, the boys' home in Danville next Sunday, and we do that monthly. A reminder, we do this to bless those kids, to love on them. And as you know, boys that age can eat and eat and eat and eat. And we want them to eat, all right? And we do. We also minister to the staff that are watching them. And then it also gives a reprieve, a little bit of a relief for the cooking staff, because after they feed lunch on Sunday, they're able to go home with their families where they would have to be staying back and preparing supper for those boys. So it's not only to adults, primarily to kids, but I want to remind you, we're asking you to bring those baby bottles back, because Avenues for Women is a ministry toward women who are in pregnancy, and we're really encouraging them to keep their children. Our VBS is coming up. Summer camps are coming up. We support orphanages throughout the world. The workers in our children's ministry, in our Kids Way, Monday through Friday daycare, and then all who will be helping in Bible school. We are focusing on children today. Julie and I support a young lady, and we have for many years, through Compassion International. And some of you may do that as well, or you sponsor other children. I'm here to say this to you, and this is just a reminder, okay? You already know it, but I just want to remind you that children are a blessing. They're not a burden, okay? They're a blessing. Derek Kinder wrote, he said, they're a lot of responsibility, and we know that's true, but they are blessings. Psalm 55:22, in talking about burdens, and especially children being a blessing, not a burden, we as believers don't cast it up on anybody else as being a burden. You and I take our burdens to the Lord. We just finished that series of the invitations of God. And we started with come to me, call to me, cast to me, and confess to me. Last Sunday we ended that. But we've used this verse in those invitations. We don't, are you all listening? I'm not going to cast my burden to you. I'm going to cast my burden to the Lord. That's what I do as a believer. So children aren't burdens, they're blessings. So what do you and I do with burdens? I don't want to cast them to you, I cast them to Him. He will support you. He will never allow the righteous to be able to be shaken. So we have burdens, but children aren't that. They are not burdens. I put together some things, just my time of being a pastor, my academic life, and just even continuing education in pastoral care, that I came up with three problems that are happening with parenting, foster parenting, overseeing children, guardians, grandparents, any way you want to look at it, even with working with children. And the first problem we get to is, if we're not careful, we will be self-centered people. We only think of ourselves. You think about you, your wants, your needs, your desires. Like, our kids are grown. Julie and I, our kids are grown. And but let's say I said to Julie, you go out this weekend with the girls, and I'll take care of the kids. And of course, they're older now. They're not there. But let's pretend like they're back home. We would love to pretend like they were back home. But and I'm going, you go out. Y'all go get something to eat. Go see a movie, whatever. And I'm doing that. And that sounds like I'm the greatest husband in the world, right? But my whole goal is I'm doing this so she'll let me go turkey hunting next weekend. You see this shadow mission that's there? I'm letting her do things or giving her freedom, but the whole case is behind me being able to do something I want the next weekend. You're going, well, I don't think that's self-centered. I do, because the whole reason of them getting out is because of what I can do a little bit later on. So we think of ourselves, our wants, our needs, and our desires. I'll give you this, and you ladies can amen this, but I write sermons more geared to my tribe, men, because I am a man. So I know my sermons aren't probably as woman intuitive as you probably want them to be, and I get it, but I can't help it. I'm a man. So I come in it from that perspective. But I try to teach young dads this as early on as they will let me disciple them. And that is, if we're not careful, we'll be self-centered caregivers to children in whatever capacity you are in that. Like when our kids were home, it was Julie and Andrew and Laura and me, that's four, and the Lord is fifth. But the way it should be going is the Lord is first, and then there's my family, and guess who's last? I'm last. So if you just take my immediate family, and it's different now, and I'll get to that in a minute, I'm in fifth place. And I teach young dads this. I have to lead from fifth place. We think we lead from first place. But as parents, we lead from last place, especially to the dads. And you're going, well, I don't know if that's true. It is true. You know, Scripture tells us that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And that's what we choose. And I've got to learn to lead my family in fifth place. Our son-in-law has passed away, Tom. And now we have Andrew's wife, Maria. And then just like oatmeal, we became instant grandparents. And now we have Charlotte and Gwen. So now I'm in ninth place. I didn't stay in fifth place. I've become ninth place. We have to really take an inventory over the guidance that we give children and whether we are self-centered or not. Another parenting problem can be is you're the self-motivator. You're a self-starter. And the problem with that is you struggle with asking for help. You struggle with asking for parenting. I'm reading a book called The Anxiety Generation. Julie DVR'd this, an interview, and I saw it. It's a secular book, but it's really promoted by a lot of Christian leaders. And it is on how to raise this generation in the next few years. And it's really incredible how what we have done is that there's no way we would tell our children that anybody can have your body. We would do that. But yet we've turned our children's minds over to anybody. But yet we wouldn't have turned their body over to anybody, and nor should you. But we've turned their minds over, and it's talking about the mental health issues of the future, how parenting's going to have to change. And if I were to give you the list of what you need to do as a parent in the future, you all would look at me and go, you're crazy. There's no way. And then automatically you'd be afraid that your kids wouldn't like you anymore. But I believe, like that book, that parenting is going to have to change in the future. You can't be the self-motivating parent or guardian or whatever it is in your leadership with children. And you can't struggle with asking for help. You're going to have to do that. Again, back to the Invitations of God series, 1 Peter 5:7. I ask for help. I cast all your care. We cast all of our cares on Him, and we do it for a very specific reason. He cares for us. I use this in the early service. Laura was young. I want to think she was 17. Julie would know more of the exact date. She was going to Kenya to teach in one of the orphanages that we sponsor called Tumani with Miss Rose. And through that orphanage, you have planted a church called Hope Community Church, and the name Tumani means hope. So some of you know our daughter. She's an independent little lady, and her favorite word growing up was, "I do it myself." And that was her favorite line. I think the grammar has changed, but it's still her line. So we let her go to Kenya when she was that young. And we didn't know it until later, but their plane had to be diverted, and it had to land in a different airport. And it was one of the roughest airports, the most dangerous airports at that time with everything that was going on in that area. But we had peace about it. We really did. I look back on it now and I'm going, man, I mean, did I have a disconnect in my brain when I did that? We did that. But one thing we do is we cast our cares upon the Lord. We take our anxieties to the Lord. So a self-motivating parent or overseer of children, you can get to the struggle that you don't ask for help. And you're going to have to ask for help. You're going to have to learn to be able to do that. And it is there. The church is there. Even in mental health issues, the church is there. The third situation that can be a problem with parents is you're self-sufficient. In other words, you will call on the Lord, you'll ask for help, but he's a last resort. When you and I need to, as we parent kids and we oversee children, we need to go to him first, not last. So the self-sufficient worker with kids, parent, whatever, we'll try to work it out ourselves, and then we'll ask for the Lord to fix it if we couldn't put it together. So some of our problems is we're self-centered, we're self-motivators, we don't ask for help, and then self-sufficient, we do ask for help, but we wait till the very end. I'm trying to get you as a pastor to call on him at the very beginning. The spiritual 911s of your life. Don't wait to the last minute. Go to the Lord with your anxieties and your cares, even concerning your children. So again, children are not the burden or the problem. Remember, they are blessings. You know, you can do this during the invitation, or you can do this now. You can do it sometime today. I'm not going to tell you to put it off till tomorrow. But part of our praying is, Lord, forgive us for thinking that children have ruined our life. That can be in the self-centered parent, overseer of kids. Lord, forgive us for the thinking that children are cramping our style. That we, even the responsibilities of them. I remember dropping Laura off at junior high, and she got to that age where we were a total embarrassment to her life. And we had to drop her off way early so she could walk, act like she was walking to school, you know, not even, you know, total disconnect from us. But forgive us that I'm sure I've cramped their style, but Lord, forgive me for thinking that they have cramped mine. Lord, forgive us that we think children are in the way. They're just in the way. My dreams, my desires. Lord, forgive us that for thinking that children are a burden, which we've handled. Lord, forgive us for thinking that children are a distraction to us. Had this conversation recently. Lord, forgive us for thinking that children are too expensive and too much of a financial responsibility. I've had this conversation for a long time with people. They're going, I get it. They act like the greatest organizer in the world, you know. And we're not going to have children until we can't afford it. Well, good luck. Good luck. You know, good luck. I remember when Tom asked me for Laura's hand in marriage. It was at Spencer's Coffee Shop on the square at Bowling Green, which is where he was from. And we went in there, and I had some things to say to him. I knew what it was going to be. And Tom was very frugal. So we met at Spencer's, and Tom didn't even buy anything to drink there. I was like, if we're going to meet here and have this discussion, we ought to at least patronize the place, you know? So we got some coffees, and we were talking, and I knew what he was going to do. And so he was nervous, and he asked me for Laura's hand in marriage, and I had some things to say to him, things that I had practiced for 21 years of saying to whomever said that to me. But I said, I want you to know one thing about Laura. She's real expensive. She's real expensive. We'll get to looking like that well-oiled or organized group of people and go, we just can't afford them. Julie and I couldn't afford to get married and we couldn't afford kids, but hey, we'll figure it out. You know, we'll figure it out. But Lord, forgive me for thinking that they're too much of a financial responsibility. I want you to look at Matthew 19, 13 through 15 for just a moment. And I'm going to walk through this briefly with you. It's a reminder to us about Jesus and children. It said, then children were brought to him, to Jesus, so he may put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them, and them could be the kids or even their parents. It could be both and there. It said, then Jesus said, leave the children alone. Don't try to keep them from coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven is made up of people like this. After putting his hands on them, he went on from there to where else he was headed. We get from this, pray with your children, learn to be able to do that. Our house was held together with stick-it notes of scripture. It had nails and screws and all that in there, but you couldn't walk in our house without a sticky note of Julie having some kind of scripture verse or some kind of saying. She would even do that even if she could get to their automobiles, you know, on the steering wheel, wherever she could with that. Pray with your kids. Learn that. Don't hinder kids from coming to Christ. And I know we can get in a major discussion about this. I know you can say, well, man, these kids are baptized too young and they'll be 16 and wonder what they did and 20 and not remember it, and they'll sow their wild oats and they'll do all this, that, and the other. I just want you to know, as a pastor, I want to introduce people to Christ no matter what their age. Okay? I know I grew up with it, the age of accountability. I heard it all the time in the local church. You know, well, when they get 12, you know, and that, they based it on Jesus being in the temple when he was 12. Julie was saved when she was 5. Later on, her mom and dad, and I understand why me and mom and papa did this, or like, maybe she's not ready to be baptized yet. And a year later, she was able to tell them how the Lord had lived with her for a year, and they looked at each other. And all I've got to say, if Julie doesn't make it, I don't have a chance. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to say that to you. But don't hinder children from coming to Christ. And I hear your argument. I get it. But I would rather a child be able to have the opportunity to go as far as I can remember in my life. I have heard the gospel of Christ. I mean, the greatest testimony is not how wild you are and then you're radically saved, like some psychedelic drug, the Lord sobered you up and saved your life, you know? And I know those are great testimonies, but we all come to Christ in the same way. We put our faith and trust in Jesus. Whether you come from loose living or you come from a Christian environment, we all come to Christ the same way. We put our faith and trust in Christ. And so I get the discussion. I'm sure I'll have it in my future. Totally get it. But he says, don't keep kids from coming to me. Don't do that. And he said, the kingdom is like these. They had a desire to be with him. And I have to ask that of you. Do you have that desire? Do you have that desire? I've said this in the early service. There's a man in my life at First Baptist Russell County, Russell Springs, when I pastored there. His name's Rabin Smith. And Rabin has been here. When I was 39, I was the same age as his son, Terry. Terry's this fit human being, could have graced the magazine of Muscle and Fitness. You couldn't pinch a fat on him. He was an absolute water dog in the lake, you know, being there at Russell County. Could do everything on we didn't have wave runners then. We had jet skis, and he could hit a wave and just totally submerge underwater on the jet ski, come out balanced, popping a wiggly, you know. Terry was just cool, you know. and we're the same age. We were good friends. Terry had a stroke and he died at the age of 39. I was holding one of his hands when he died, and Rick Mann, who's like my little brother, was holding Terry's other hand when he died. And Rabin and Sue, who's now with the Lord, Rabin's the only one from that family there except for his grandson. He was in the waiting room, and Terry had passed away, and I went in and said, my dad had just died, a few years earlier. And I said, Rabin, you don't have a son, and I don't have a dad. I said, can we adopt each other? And we did, and he's like a dad to me, even to this day. And he said something to me that I've never forgotten. I've never forgotten this. And I want you to go ahead and forgive me of the parallel for here just a moment, okay? But this is Pa. I call him Pa. He said, you know, there's two things in life you can't fool, and whether you love them or not, and that's a child and a dog. You know, now I'm not saying children are animals. There's some that act like it a time or two, but he said there's two things in life that they know if you love them or not, and that's a kid and a dog. They desire to be with Christ. They have an intuition of the Lord. But I have to ask the question, is that desire in you? You're going, they're kids. Well, what do you think we are in his eyes? I just told you to pray and tell him that you love him because he loves to hear from his kids that we love him in the simplicity of our own prayers and worship. He loves to be able to hear from us. So I just want to know, do I have the same desire to be with him and to walk with him and to spend time alone with him in his word and in prayer and casting my burdens and asking for help and giving him my anxieties and all those things? Do I desire that like children desired to be with him? Because he said the kingdom of God is like this, that you desire to be with him. And he put his hands on them and he prayed. And there's just a note to parents. Introduce your children to Christ in his kingdom, not just the things of this world. Part of our problem is you and I teach our children how to navigate the world and not navigate the kingdom. We teach them how to be a part of this world and not the kingdom. In other words, you'll raise them to be a part of the world and to navigate the world, but then you'll go, well, I'll just throw my kids to the church and let them teach them about Jesus. I'm glad you do. We'll take your kids and we'll teach them. But I did this last year, but I went through it again this year, just really putting the numbers together. But this calendar year, 2024, we're going to have Logan, both Logans. We call them Logan Squared, or Logan named that for both of them. But we're going to have your kids about 60 hours this year. By the time you count everything that we do, your own absence from spring and fall breaks to summer breaks to everything that goes in, and if you've ever planned a church calendar from January to December, you think it's easy, let me give you the challenge of doing that. January and February, it's Kentucky. It could be 70 or minus 70. You know, a lot of things we plan, we have to cancel because of the weather. I get you a little bit in March, right before Easter. And Easter's usually in April. This year it was in March. Changed everything up. I get a little bit of momentum with you then. After Easter, we've got spring break and people are gone. And we have five different school systems around us and in this church. And then we got to work through that. And then I get you back after spring break. And then I've got you to schools out or Memorial Day weekend. And then we've got VBS, thankfully. And then we've got some camps. And then I don't get you back until after Labor Day. And then I've got you to October, five school systems, fall breaks. Then I got you a little bit after October until Thanksgiving comes. And after Thanksgiving, I'll see you again in January. I've got your kids about 60 hours as a church. And I say, I really mean we, and I really more specifically mean Logan. But you're going, teach them about the Lord, and you'll get frustrated with us when you got to sit in reality and realize I have them about 60 hours in a year. You know where they learn to walk with Jesus? You. You know where they learn to not walk with Jesus? You. And that doesn't count. I put in Christian daycare and Christian schools as a big help to those plus past the 60 hours a year. And I lived in it. Man, I lived in it. Let's just take the kids to try. I lived in an area where bus ministry was the ministry, you know? And you just brought people to, you brought Tyra, one of our own. That's how she was saved. And she went there because they promised candy. It wasn't about Jesus. And she got on the bus because she knew she was going to get candy. And she found the Lord. And may I just say, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I'll just throw that in there with you when we talk about candy. But the picture is, minus the holidays and all, it's about all the time we have them. If I have them that length of time, are we going to teach them about the Lord? We are. We're going to teach them about the culture they live in and the confusion and the decisions they've got to make and all that. But it happens with you. I want to remind you, in all that, children are a blessing, not a burden. 2 Timothy 1:6 talks about praying. And this is Paul to Timothy, his son in the ministry. Therefore, I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. And Timothy is being reminded by Paul that the laying on of hands and the praying, the Holy Spirit uses that to stir up the gifts that God has given you. And I want to encourage you to do that. That's exactly what Jesus was doing in Matthew 19, no different. They were running to him and he laid hands on them and he was able to bless them. That's why I pray in my prayer. You think I just randomly throw things together. Tell the Father that you love him. Let him hear from his kids. That's why I tell you, pray a blessing over people who are around you today, even if you don't know them, and for your family, wherever they may be. I believe in the blessing. I believe in the blessing. And it says that it comes from God. And it just stirred, the Holy Spirit uses this as a time to stir up the gift of that God has given even to our children. Evidently, Timothy was timid and shy, very shy. And God was asking for his gift to be stirred up so that he could be bold and courageous with his gift. There are three things I want to leave you with today. I want to leave you with encouragement. Number one, that children are blessings. Number two, I want to leave you with a practical way to bless your kids. Find them when they're asleep and pray over them. Pray over their rooms. I remember when we were planning Hope Church and I had left my salary and my benefits and my insurance and actually borrowed money out of my retirement to start Hope Church. And I can remember me going in and peering in on Andrew and Laura, and they'd be so asleep. And I'd hear the enemy say to me, "You're such a bad dad. What do you think you're doing?" And I just want to remind you, while the enemy was whispering those lies to me over my sleeping children, I was also praying my anxiety, whatever it was, I was giving it to the Lord. And I just want to remind you, we planted a church called Hope Community Church. I don't know if you're aware of it or have you heard about it. But we did that this year, will be 26 years ago. Julie and I are getting ready to start our 31st year here in Lawrenceburg. And I just want to remind you, out of peeping in on my kids, especially my son, he is now a church planter over the whole state of Kentucky. See, the Lord was able to see that when I was hearing the lies of the enemy that I was doing something really ridiculous. And all along, God was putting it together. You go, "Preacher, what are you saying?" Listen, God didn't just have a plan for you. God has a plan for your kids. Don't just live this life concentration on just what is your will, but realizing as he's leading you and what he wills for you, he is planning, he has a plan for your children as well. So just in your home, go in while they're asleep. They're going to think you're weird. Like my daughter, they may have you letting them out earlier than Laura had us letting her out. They may think you're the craziest parent on the earth. But Paul and the Lord says it stirs up the gifts that he gives them. And to be able to do that, when you see children, no matter what Sundays, Wednesday nights, camps, events, Bible school, I want you to know we see blessings. And I know you're thinking, I'm preaching this sermon up here, and I've got every kid running around with a little, probably an illustrated Bible in their hand with pipe cleaner halos. You remember when we used to do the plays, especially rural country churches, and some kid would be the angel in Christmas, and it was made with pipe cleaners? You remember those pipe cleaners? And they'd make your halo. I called them pipe cleaner halos. And I know you're thinking, I'm projecting children are running around here just, you know, they're going to be future monks, you know, and they're just running around. This is all this blessing and these pipe cleaner halos. I just want you to know there are some rowdy blessings in this world, but they're still blessings. I was that rowdy kid that you didn't want in your room, whether it was public school or vacation Bible school. Yesterday we were setting up and I would see things that they're cautioning off, and I'm going, just the fact that you cautioned it off makes me want to go right there. You know? I mean, we've got flags out here that are lined because we're redoing the playground, and so there's a lot of digging going on, and it's a natural gas line, and they got little wire flags, and they said, can we pick those up? I said, I don't know, we may be in violation of 811, I don't know, but I said, if I was in Bible school, I hope no kids are really listening to this, but I said, I'd be picking it up, using it as a sword, you know? I mean, hey, listen, I don't have them around like they're in seminary, you know? I mean, they're blessings, and some of them are rowdy blessings, but they're still blessings. They're still blessings, and we treat them like that. And His Word has instructed us, and it has encouraged us that not only are our children blessings, but we are to be blessings to children. I want you to look at Romans 18 or 8:16 for a moment. And this is just a reminder that there is instruction in God's Word for us to care for children. But I also want to remind you that God's care for us reminds us that we are His children. Do you see that in this verse? The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. We're His kids. And don't forget that. We were all born with a nature to rebel, some of us more than others. We were born with that. But God, when He saved us, He took His enemies and made us His sons and His daughters. Now, I'm not going to give you the verses past this. You can look them up yourself. But it says, He's adopted us into the family of God, and we become joint heirs with Christ. Guys, listen, if Scripture taught that Jesus got more than I did in heaven, I'd be fine with that. But that's not what it teaches. It says that we are joint heirs with Christ. We are co-heirs with Christ. That whatever He intends to give Jesus, He intends to give you. You and I in Him are as full family as Jesus is His only begotten Son. Isn't that beautiful about our Lord? That what He intends to give Jesus, He intends to give us. And listen, I'd be fine if He elevated what He did for Jesus. But He says we are co-heirs with Him. And remember, not only are we blessings to children and children are blessings, but you are His children. And He cares for you. And He has a love for you. Let's just show that love to families this week. Let's our interest in family. The kids are going to come from every kind of background and situation. Let's love on them, okay? Let's love on them. Keep them away from the caution tape. Don't let them sword fight with the yellow flags out here. Let's love them. And let's see their desire to come to Christ. And let's don't hinder any kid from coming to the Lord. The greatest testimony ever is that a kid can look back and go, for as long as I can remember, I've heard the gospel of Christ. I pray that become true with us. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people. I pray over them today. Their parents, foster parents, adoptive parents, and Lord, I know in reality they're just parents, or grandparents, or guardians, or overseers of children. Lord, even those who will be in Bible school this week that are in this service and be working tirelessly, giving time, taking vacation time, Lord, we pray over them, strengthen them and empower them. But let us all lay down every area of service that we have, and just to let children know that we see them as blessings. And Father, lead us in confession of any of the things where we are casting burdens on kids. They're not burdens, they're blessings. You've reminded us that today. And then may we live in the blessing that we are your children too. Thank you for that kind of a love. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. The invitation is for you to come. You may want to come as parents. You ever how the Lord encourages you to come, you come. There'll be people to pray with here. And not only pray with, you don't have to pray with them. You can come to the altar yourself. But the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, would you all come and find your place? And then as the team leads us, you respond.